This is Todd Sommerfeld. I'm a sales agronomist for CHS in Crookston, Minnesota. We are pleased to bring you the update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson along with Randy Conan, and we'll also be hearing a report from Melissa Hammer. But first, we begin with Harvest Hotline. Harvest Hotline is brought to you by Amity Technology, the North Dakota Mill, and Ag Country Farm Credit Services. Excessive rain at the end of spring wheat harvest is causing quality concerns. Valley United Co-op General Manager Paul Coppin says it's been frustrating end to harvest.
To your point, we got 3 or 4 inches of rain, and this wheat. Cold, it went down rather quickly. We saw sprout damage, we saw falling number issues, we saw vomit toxin issues, and certainly with the price of wheat where it's at right now, and then you start to discount from there, and unfortunately, with the discounts, the wheat's were in the $3, but the hard part is we really need to know what the quality is before you start hauling in.
Coppin says knowing your wheat quality is critical.
Basically, we want to be up front and say, okay, we have some issues you have in the bin right now. Number one, take care of it. Keep air on it and at least maintain what you have so it doesn't go down in quality further. Let's test it and see what we have. I think what we're going to see is the market is going to adapt to the wheat we have in the bin, and maybe the discounts hopefully down the road aren't going to be as bad.
Crops in the Langdon, North Dakota area look tough after recent heavy rains. Kevin Wasloski says harvest has come to a screeching halt.
The later stuff that was high and dry was running pretty fair, but now we're fighting. I was just at John Deere, and they said there was 12 combines with raw congestion at the shop there that they have done so far. The crop is lodged and people going down and trying to get all the wheat and canola's lodged bad, so it's a struggle.
Wasloski says area farmers had been making good harvest progress before the rains.
Most of the wheat is off. There's probably 15-20% of the wheat left. A lot of guys just started canola. A few guys are finishing up, but that's kind of where that's sitting. There's a few guys with peas that haven't. The peas are flat. I think they're going to just end up being abandoned. Heavy rains, and we didn't get a lot of wind with it, but we did get some wind when we got some of the rains, and there's a lot of down crop.
Professional Agronomy Services crop consultant Brad Guck of Perm, Minnesota, says harvest is behind for much of the area.
On the potato side of things, of course, it's been quite warm here this fall so far, so potato harvest is a little bit probably behind where the local growers hoped that it would be at this time of year due to the extra heat and not being able to harvest quite as rapid as they'd like for long-term storage, but we're in some really dry conditions now. We haven't had rain in a while, so you do see some irrigators running to keep the soil moisture levels up a little bit. And hopefully they have good digging here once we cool off a little bit.
Soybean harvest is just getting started.
The soybean crop looks pretty good. Of course, we haven't had any rain here for about 3 weeks. And on the dry land acres where it's really sandy, that's affected yield a fair bit. And a couple of shots here at the end of August, beginning of September, would have went a long ways to increasing yield. There have been a few combines rolling on some dry land acres, hearing reports of 12 to 13% moisture in some of those pockets. So on some of the acres where it's really dry, it's time to go. And seeing some respectable yields, of course, everybody would always take a little bit more. So those couple of rains would have been very helpful here if we would have gotten those timely shots at the end of August, beginning of September.
Hankinson, North Dakota farmer Joe Mox is there in the thick of dry bean harvest. A lot of variability, though, in the crop.
We started harvesting here 2 weeks ago, I think, and about half done, I guess. I don't know, kind of all over the board. The first ones were kind of average or so there, and then the stuff that we got left is not very good. Actually, that's really short. They're really green. I'm not even sure if we're going to be able to get them up. They're just, the water and the stuff we got around us just really set them back. It's just such a hit-miss thing. The guy would have one good field and then a couple tough ones, and yeah, it's just a hit and miss thing. Yes, yep. Had too much rock, too much rain, too much water.
Beets and soybeans just getting started.
Well, we did our pre-lift for beets, I guess, but I don't know. Soybeans, I think maybe we'll have a field in the next week or so is what I'm thinking. Beets are kind of the same way. We got a good field, we got a bad field, and all over in between, I guess it seems like. So, I mean, I would say they're going to be a little less than average probably. And the beans, I guess I'm not even sure how they're going to be. It's hard to know on them, I guess.
A low-pressure system centered over the eastern Montana-Canada border that brought rain and thunderstorms from the eastern Dakotas and northern North Dakota, southern Canada, and central and western Montana this morning is slowly making its way northward. World Weather Incorporated expects most of the harvest delays to occur in central and western Montana. More rain and thunderstorms are expected across the northern plains Friday through next Tuesday. Less rain is expected the second week of the outlook, September 25th through October 2nd. And on totals for today, just above half an inch in Cavalier, an inch and a half since yesterday for Cavalier, 43 hundredths of an inch in Rolla. Warren, Minnesota saw 37 hundredths of an inch, 10 hundredths of an inch in Herman, Minnesota, and 14 hundredths in Langdon.
And that's Harvest Hotline brought to you by Amity Technology, the North Dakota Mill, and Ag Country Farm Credit Services. The U.S. House is scheduled to vote this evening on Speaker Mike Johnson's proposal to fund the federal government for the new budget year. The current language contains a proposal to mandate states to require proof of citizenship when people register to vote. Outcome of the measure, very uncertain, with some Republican lawmakers concerned about continuing the current spending levels, while Democrat lawmakers overwhelmingly oppose the proof of citizenship for voters. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Staff for House and Senate Agriculture Committee leadership are reportedly meeting to find consensus on the farm bill. According to the Hagstrom Report, Senate Ag Committee Chair Debbie Stabenow and House Ag Committee Chair Glenn G.T. Thompson remain committed to passing a farm bill in 2024. The staff negotiations are still looking at big picture issues and have not approached farm bill details.
Legislation to keep AM radio in the dashboard of your car or pickup is on its way to the House floor. The House Energy and Commerce Committee voted 45-2 this morning. The availability of AM radio in vehicles was put into question by major automobile manufacturers. The bill has been introduced in the Senate, but no action has been taken. There is a sense of urgency with little time on the congressional calendar.
Sustainable energy has been an increasingly relevant topic in recent years. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Melissa Hammer has more.
Demeter Land Development renewable energy developer Scott Aronson says using agricultural land for renewable energies such as solar power has been increasing with the increased demand for sustainable energy.
Farmers are already part of the energy business. Farmland, as you know, has been used in energy production for a very long time. I think there's something like 90 million acres of corn that's being farmed in America. About 40% of that goes into ethanol, which is being used every day, you know, for a wide variety of industrial needs, including gasoline. You know, every time I fill up my car, I use 7 to 10 pounds of corn for every gallon of gasoline. What we do is use the land in a different type of way. People need to eat. People need food, but people also need electricity.
Aronson says agrivoltaics ensures that the land used for solar energy is not taking away from the agricultural use of the land.
Most of the land that I sign up for now has some aspect of agrivoltaics, which means that you are able to actually farm under the panels. Now, you can't do all, as of yet, and agrivoltaics is changing rapidly, so the things that you could do under the panels are increasing, you know, more and more as technologies improve. But, you know, there's, from the farmer's perspective, there's opportunities to still use the land for agricultural stuff, be it grazing activities or, in some instances, vegetables and stuff along those lines. There's also the money that the farmer makes. I mean, on average, the farmer's making 3 to 5 times the revenue leasing the land for solar than it could be for farming.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Melissa Hammer for the Red River Farm Network.
The weekly report from the Energy Information Administration showing ethanol production for the week ending September 13th, down 31,000 barrels per day to 1.04 million barrels a day. Ethanol stocks increased about 100,000 barrels to 23.8 million.
A new event, AgFest, is being held in Ada tomorrow at the Norman County Fairgrounds. Money Farm owner Allison Thompson hopes the event will help the local ag community stay up to date with the latest news and market trends heading into the fall harvest season.
Well, it's our first time doing this. We wanted to hold a program in the fall. Myself with the Money Farm and also KRJB here in Ada. Just trying to update a lot of the local community and area communities, because agriculture is a big part, obviously, and things are changing. We wanted to make sure that going into harvest, guys have a little bit of an update of some things that are going on that could obviously impact their bottom line here moving forward.
Multiple panels are on the schedule, but Thompson says the plan is to have open discussions amongst attendees.
We want to have a panel-based discussion on a few big topics, including the economics and what's going on with interest rates and what the outlook is like going into 2025 from a farm perspective. And also we wanted to touch on just giving the sugar beet harvest, since that's going on right now, and then also what it looks like for inputs for fall. Obviously another big thing here with harvest rolling around and looking into the new year as well. I'm also going to give a market update on what's going on in the marketplace. And then Drew Lerner is going to be present as well to give us a forecast for fall, this winter, and possibly even an outlook into next spring.
Get the latest news and weather updates anytime by listening to the Red River Farm Network podcasts. Listen at rrfn.com and most anywhere you get your podcasts. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Red River Land Company is reporting recent American Crystal Sugar Company share sales. 25 shares selling at $5,600 a share, and 194 shares selling at $5,550 per share.
With decreased profits predicted in September's farm income forecast, USDA Chief Economist Seth Meyer believes the sentiment is following cyclical economic trends.
We go through these periods where we have a shock in the market, prices jump, input prices follow them. As farmers do what they do best, which is produce their way through it, those prices fall and input prices tend to remain sticky. So we go through these periods. We saw it in the 2007-08 period. We saw it in the 2010-13 period, and followed by a number of years of pretty tight margins.
Numerous external economic factors have farmers tightening their belts heading into the fall season.
We've seen containerized costs rise, and that has been in the past a problem for us in terms of overall containerized ag exports. So a challenge here, seeing some challenges for our export competitiveness through low Mississippi River levels. We've seen drought creep back into a lot of areas that we hadn't seen it 6 months ago. Certainly, we've got some uncertainties when it comes to drought and prices for margins in the coming year.
Checking quotes, December wheat Minneapolis down 4.25 cents to 6.16¾. December wheat Chicago's down 0.25 cents, 5.75½. Kansas City's December hard red winter wheat's down 2 cents, 5.78 even. December corn even here so far, 4.12½. March corn even as well. November soybeans are up 7 cents to 10.13. January soybeans up 6½. March up 5¾. In Winnipeg, November canola is up $9.10 per metric ton at $5.84.30 Canadian. October live cattle down 30 cents to 178.50. December's up a dime, 179.95. February live cattle up 12 cents to 181.12. October feeders down 57 cents, 240.17. November feeders down a nickel to 238.25. January feeders up 17 cents, 233.22. October lean hogs up 30 cents, 82.07. December lean hogs up 12 cents, 73.82. And February lean hogs up 15 cents at 76.95. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.